Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Doug Duin, and joining me today is Leticia Longoria Navarro, the executive director of Pathfinder Network and Pops the Club, and curator of the new book, Home and Away, Poetry, Stories, and Art. Leticia, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. I'm excited to chat with you.
Yeah. So the Pathfinder Network and Pops the Club, you deal with children who have incarcerated parents. Now, the thing that really jumped out to me is the staggering number. 1 in 14 U.S. children has or has had an incarcerated parent. That's a big number. So what challenges did these children face? We usually think of incarceration as the person being incarcerated, but what challenges do the children of an incarcerated parent face that we may not be aware of?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I would just start out by saying, too, that for me, you know, being an adult that has, you know, lived experience having parents incarcerated, you know, I know firsthand the challenges, but they're very consistent when we look at young people who have parents or loved ones who are incarcerated. One of the biggest things, and the reason that, you know, doing art and using creative expression as a way to kind of create meaning and healing is so important, is there's just a lot of shame and stigma. This is not something that kids are necessarily going to school and talking about with other people because they're worried about what people are going to think about them or their parents or what happened or what's going to happen to them next. And there are a lot of people who are just not equipped to even respond when someone does talk about it, when a young person does talk about it to their teacher or counselor. And so that stigma piece of being treated differently or, you know, having kind of labels or stereotypes applied to them and them really not getting the things that they need to be successful educationally, but also socially. I also just think that separation from our parents is really difficult. So you've got the shame, you've got the stigma, but then the people who, right, are supposed to take care of you and be present and love you and meet your needs and show you love and affection and do fun things with you are not there. And some of the most important kind of developmental phases for children. So developmentally, right, they're missing opportunities to learn and grow and evolve. And those have, you know, those impacts have really negative outcomes. So I by no means want to say that because, you know, you have an incarcerated parents, or parents, that all of these horrible things are going to happen. But we do see things like, you know, a lack of engagement in school, engagement with the juvenile justice system, you know, having a hard time dealing kind of with the ability to just be social and have positive relationships with people, things like mental health, substance use, and just a bunch of other negative impacts that are, you know, obviously impactful in the moment, but have a really long-term impact as well.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you make a decision about a parent's behavior and then there are consequences for those around them. Do these kids end up facing, you know, like you mentioned, juvenile justice system, higher probability of incarceration themselves?
So, you know, I think that's a statistic that's been out there forever. And one of the things that I think it's always important to educate that anytime anybody has a negative experience, you know, adverse childhood experience is the word that we use. It leads to higher chances across a lot of different outcomes, right? Things like mental health, substance abuse, justice involvement, maybe not good employment outcomes. So the totality of having a bunch of negative experiences does lead to, you know, just more negative outcomes. And I think in a time where you're already not getting the things that you need, then becoming involved with systems or experiencing consequences can even, I just double down the negative impact and the consequences. And you said it so well, when someone goes to prison, it's not just them that gets impacted, it's their children, it's their family. And I think it's also the community too that gets impacted. There's a loss of potential, there's a loss of civic engagement and just participation in the community. So we talk about our programs at the Pathfinder Network really about being in service to and supporting whole people, whole families, and whole communities, because we know the impacts.
Yeah, and that leads me directly into my next question is, with all these challenges that families, children, and even the parent who is incarcerated face, what is the role of the Pathfinder Network and Pops the Club? What do you do to help with these situations?
Yeah, so the Pathfinder Network, really, our mission is to provide tools and support to justice involved individuals and their families so that they can be safe and thrive. Ultimately, what we want to do is show up for people, help remove some of the barriers that they experience, give them access to resources, care that they might need so that they can navigate the challenges they're experiencing and come out on the other side happy, healthy, productive, living their full potential. We have 20 different programs across the agency. We work with moms who are expecting all the way through the life course. So we've got everything from like parenting classes to youth mentoring, our arts-based support clubs, POPS the Club and the Pathfinder Club. We provide programming in prisons, in jails. We support people when they're reentering after their release from prison or jail. So we really try to meet people right where they are at every point of the criminal justice system and beyond with tools, support, resources, and community so that those negative things that have happened to them that have such a significant impact that we can help kind of alleviate and help people come out of the other side more resilient.
Yeah. And you mentioned specifically the stigma of having either been incarcerated or having a family member who's been incarcerated. Are there any misunderstandings culturally, basically, about incarcerated people? And how does that affect the families and the children?
Yeah, such a good question. I think, you know, the criminal justice system is big. It's a big part of our culture and our country. And so a lot of people have this perception, right, that people who get arrested or come in contact with the criminal justice system are bad people. And I think for me, I always take every opportunity to say, yes, people make bad choices. But imagine being judged by the worst decision that you've ever made and what that, you know, would do to you, how that would impact you in the moment, but also in the future. And that people usually come in contact with the criminal justice system because of other social issues that make it really difficult for them to be successful and thrive. So we know that you can actually predict people's kind of rate of involvement with the criminal justice system just based off the zip code where they were born, right? So if you didn't have access to good education or healthcare or food security or supportive adults, if you didn't have a community center, right? There's all of these social determinants to criminal justice system involvement, to health, all kinds of things, right? So I think it's important to recognize that, yes, when people make bad decisions, the behavior should be addressed and we should acknowledge the impacts. And we got to look behind the behavior. Why did that person make that decision? What was the environment that they made it in? What was their childhood like? What do they have or not have? So we spend a lot of time talking about how people got to the criminal justice system, their pathway to the criminal justice system. And we really believe that the pathway out of the criminal justice system is by addressing those things. Maybe you grew up in a neighborhood where there were not a lot of opportunities for employment. If you don't have a job, you can't take care of yourself. You can't take care of your family. So you might be put in situations where you have to make really difficult decisions that we've, you know, labeled criminal, let's say. But there's so much more behind the situation. And we also know the statistics are very clear, Doug, that sending people to prison, incarceration alone really doesn't have an impact on changing people's behavior. Punishment isn't a great way to reverse the decisions that people have made or even help them be more successful in the future. It's the tools, it's the resources, it's addressing some of those social determinants that I just talked about that really help people leave the criminal justice system and not come back, and then prevent their children and families and community members from being involved also.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of studies about the difference between rehabilitation and recidivism based on the way our justice system works. So it does feel like a situation that is self-perpetuating. But back to what you said about the zip code being a determiner of whether or not a child, like, or a percentage of people who might be incarcerated. So in that, what is the importance of friendship and community in helping these families, these kids, possibly just knowing others with similar circumstances? How does that help?
Yeah. So one of the core, I would say elements, but I say magic of the Pathfinder Club and POPS the Club, which are arts-based support clubs for teens who've been impacted by incarceration, detention, and deportation, is community. So I talked a little bit about that negative impact of shame and stigma. the elixir to that is being in community with people who have shared lived experience, who make those things not feel so significant. Like, oh, I'm not alone. There's other people who have had that experience and are living through, you know, the impacts of it in the moment. And you can have a conversation with someone who's experienced the thing that you're talking about so much, it's so much easier, right? When you're talking to someone who knows what it's like. So that community is really transformative. And then when you bring art into it, you know, we don't have to sit down and have a therapy session, but we can maybe write about it, right? So we use writing prompts, and we do art activities, and we do community building activities where we bring in guest speakers who are maybe, you know, in that seat, you know, 14 years old with maybe dad incarcerated, but now they're in law school. Or they're a filmmaker, and, you know, to be able to see that people with those same experiences go on and do incredible, amazing things that both they care about, but has a positive impact in the community is really critical. And then the last thing that we do is we use a lot of mindfulness. We just know that things like trauma, which young people who are impacted by incarceration have a lot of, have a negative impact on their developmental process. And so using mindfulness to help create a sense of regulation and to help people like lean into the tools and strategies and coping mechanisms that they have is really critical too. So we just create this community in this space where we can talk about our experiences, create meaning out of them, express them, and then really create support, education for others, and then make, you know, really cool, meaningful changes in our community and in the world. And that's why these anthologies that we publish every year are really, you know, curated work from each of our clubs. We have 10 clubs across the country, and we publish their artwork, their poems, their writing, their photography, their paintings, their drawings, their raps sometimes, to show the impact of the clubs, but also to educate people about the impact of incarceration and help, you know, provide insight on what does help when we're trying to support people, specifically teens who are impacted by incarceration and really other negative experiences. These books are so powerful, transformative. I'll tell you, the first time I saw a young person hold a book that they were published in for the first time, just the look of joy and pride that they had contributed to something that was published in that people all around the world can access is just really incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So the book Home and Away, Poetry, Stories, and Art is not the first book that you guys have put together. And it truly does give these kids a chance to express themselves through their writing and their artwork. You kind of touched a little bit on why it's important that they do this. What kind of changes have you seen? I mean, you say the pride of being published. Have you seen the positive impact of being involved in these books and these kids as throughout their development?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is our 10th anthology, so it's a special one. Home and Away is our 10th. And I so many different examples, Doug, but I'll just highlight a few young people who, you know, that shame and that stigma and the negative emotions that come from being separated from a parent, maybe who's incarcerated. If you keep that in, it will have really negative impact. So there's just a young people who come to us who are just like shut down, numb, disconnected. And then they start coming to club. The other thing, Doug, is we provide yummy food at every club session. And we just believe that food helps create connection and community and break down barriers. So if you're breaking bread together and talking about something, it just really changes and shifts the environment. So, you know, like they come, they get some yummy food, and then two or three sessions in, they start talking. And I just can think of so many young people who came to us who wouldn't say anything, who are now like leaders in their community on the student council. I could think of one young man who had such a positive impact on me. I was like, gosh, I feel like you've done more for me than maybe we've done for you. But, you know, he's applying for colleges. He's asking for letters of recommendation. He has done like public speaking. He spoke about the clubs. He's read his pieces at different events. And he's just so, his experience and his engagement with life is just so rich. So he felt like, you know, he wasn't even going to graduate from high school. He felt like there was really no hope or no purpose. And now he's just like the brightest light, super engaged, thinking about another young person who has said over and over, like, if it wasn't for the club, I'd probably be dead or in jail myself, because I felt so lost and without a purpose. And now I feel like not only do I have a purpose, but I have a community and I've got all kinds of dreams that I want to chase. The other thing is just helping children connect back with their parents. Like, this is hard to talk about with other people, but I'll tell you from my own personal experience, it was always hard to talk to my parents about their incarceration, because I was pretty angry at times. And, you know, I had a lot of things that I missed out on because they weren't there. And so we've also been able to see how the clubs and the writing and publishing process helps create connection between families who sometimes are strained or dealing with really hard stuff. That's hard for people who are completely resourced to deal with, let alone folks who have all kinds of challenges and barriers. Those are some few examples.
Yeah. And those are great. Now, the good thing on your side is, you know, going in what these kids are facing. Now, teachers are often put in a very, very difficult situation of only being able to react to a behavior and not necessarily knowing what's going on. What should community leaders and teachers be aware of that could help them in situations like this?
Yeah, that is such a good question. And I would say when the clubs exist in school settings, we've seen that the clubs help shift the culture of the school. So I was thinking about one particular teacher who was like, what are you doing in this club? Like, this student is engaging and turning in assignments and, you know, just they're a whole new person. And so what learning for that particular teacher was, is that these kids have stories. We need to ask about them. What's going on for them? And when we start asking, they're really, really wise about what they need or what they're interested in doing moving forward. So I think listening to the stories, eliciting the stories, showing up, being able to listen to their wisdom and what they need. I feel like each of these anthologies that we publish is a book of wisdom that, you know, we really, all of us, no matter what age we are, no matter what our role is, can benefit from. And then I would also say, like, there's so much untapped potential in every single one of us, but particularly young people. And so create opportunities, right, for them to be able to engage and participate, to learn, you know, to earn money, to be able to do things that they've never done before. Those investments go so far. That kind of planting of seeds goes so far, and you will definitely see the benefits of it. So those are a few thoughts of things that I would share with people who are working with youth and with families.
And now I'm gonna like really up the game here to a very loaded, huge question. Aside from like community leaders and teachers, with your experience in incarceration issues, family support, what systemic or cultural changes, if any, do you think that we could really truly benefit from?
You're full of good questions, Doug. Oh, you know, one that we're really focused on right now is just making sure that we can keep families connected. So I you know, there's some legislation in Oregon where I live that we're working really hard to push forward. But sometimes what the criminal justice system does, and other systems like the child welfare system as one additional example, is, you know, sometimes it separates families, and families staying connected and being healthy and being safe are really important to not only the members of the family, but to the community. So talk about like community safety, families and kind of sources of informal social control are really important for all of us. So we talk about, you know, how do we make sure that we can maintain connection? So one example is a policy in the criminal justice system is when we're sending parents to prison, which I would say we should try not to do, right? Because there's so many impacts. But when we do, can we make sure that that parent gets to stay in a prison that's going to be close to where their children are at? Because there's lots of research and evidence that says when people are incarcerated, if they're getting visits and they're having contact with their family, they do better, right? They're not having misconducts or having issues in the prison. And then when they get out, they're less likely to recidivate. So there's a benefit to the parent, but then to the children, right? There's a bunch of negative impacts related to parental incarceration. But when we can keep that connection It can have really positive impacts, not just for the child and the parent, but really families and communities as a whole. I think, telecommunication justice is something that we advocate for a lot. You know, if it costs $17 for a 10-minute conversation between a child and a parent, families are not going to be able to afford that, right? You might be able to have a phone call once or twice a month because you got to worry about feeding children and transporting and all the other things, right, that caregivers are responsible for. So a lot of the things I'm talking about are keeping families connected and providing them with the tools and resources and support and community that they need, because we know that connection and that family resilience and success is going to be directly connected to our success as a community as well. So those are, just a few thoughts. I could probably go on forever. The last thing I'll say, Doug, because I think is important, is just assessing the impact of sending anyone to prison is important, but particularly parents. The burden on the child welfare system is really significant. So when we send a parent to prison, that might mean that we're sending a child to a foster care placement. And the cost alone, if we're just talking, right, like dollars and cents, is really significant. And could we use those resources that we might send used to send a parent to prison and maybe a child into a child welfare placement to keep them together and do intensive community supervision and support so that family can stay together? And what I'll tell you from the stats that we're looking at here in Oregon is it's a lot cheaper to keep parents home with maybe parole and probation and wrap around them with services and supports than to send them to prison, and not just in dollars, but in the other impacts that we've talked about as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm talking to Leticia Longoria Navarro, Executive Director of Pathfinder Network and Pops the Club, and curator of anthologies annually this year, Home and Away, Poetry, Stories, and Art. Leticia, I really, truly appreciate the time that you've spent to kind of educate me and my listeners about this issue. Now, before I let you go, what kind of lasting thought would you like our listeners to leave with today?
Yeah, I would say pick up one of these anthologies. I think everything that needs to be said exists in there. I think it's an opportunity to educate ourselves as members of community, to open our hearts and our minds, and to create spaces for young people where they can be safe and thrive and really reach their fullest potential. The work in these anthologies are so transformative and impactful. And I just really think that we're all responsible for making sure that the young people in our communities can be successful. And one way is to invest in the things that they're creating and developing, and helping them to follow their dreams and reach their goals.
So step one, listen. I love it. Leticia, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with us.